Welcome to 2% with Michael Easter. Today is Monday, April 22nd. Another awesome day. Our episode today is about the benefits of the heat. So a quick summary of what we're going to be covering is we're covering heat exposure therapy and whether exercising in the heat can be beneficial. So you've probably noticed that saunas are rising in popularity. But whether spending time in the sauna is worthwhile, it sort of depends on who you are and what your goals are. There does seem to be some strong health benefits that sort of mimic exercise, but the sauna does not trump exercise. So we have to learn how to balance that. And then when it comes to the realm of fitness, the impacts of heat exposure don't seem to be quite as strong, but they might be worthwhile for some groups. So in this post, we are basically going to help you figure out whether heat exposure is worth it for you and then the best way to do it. Now, before we get into it, and this is important housekeeping. So you might notice that the email newsletter that went out today, it looks a bit different. And if you go to twopct.com, the 2% home site, that looks way different. And that is because we decided to switch from Substack to another platform. Because this new platform, I think, is going to allow us to get some more growth. It's going to allow us to deliver new, different, better material. It's just going to be a nice change that I think is going to feed back into getting you, the listener in this case, the reader, if you also read the material, just better stuff overall and just generally better topics. We're going to have more resources to do a lot more. Now, what does this actually mean for you? It doesn't really mean much. 2% is still going to hit your inbox in the same way it always has. Doesn't matter if you're a paid member or if you are an unpaid subscriber, all the same. The 2% website, which is twopct.com, that is still going to be the hub for all things 2%. Your login info should all be the same. The only thing that will change really is that 2% will no longer appear on the Substack app. Now, I assume that we're probably going to have a few paid members hit some snags with deliverability and logging in at first, but these are going to be very minimal. And that is according to some other people I know who left Substack for the new platform that we are now on called Ghost. So if you have any issues, just holler. Otherwise, just giving you a heads up. Oh, and by the way, if you're the type of human who likes to have fun, not die, and use your time for the highest ROI health practices, i.e. don't do dumb stuff, instead do smart stuff for your health, now is a really good time to become a member because we're about to add some gas to the fire. So you can become a member with the button in the post at twopct.com, and that'll get you full access to everything we've ever done. Now let's get into today's episode. So my garage gym, my lovely garage gym that I love so much, it had its first day over 80 degrees last week, and it'll generally reach over 110 at the height of the summer, and it'll kind of sit there as a nice little oven. Now, I have a love-hate relationship with my furnace-like garage gym. So summer workouts, they definitely feel harder in the moment, but they're also kind of purifying. There's something purifying about training in the heat. And because the workouts feel harder, I also find them to be a little bit more rewarding when I'm done. But, there is a but, I've always wondered whether training in the heat, does it deliver any additional legit benefits? Or is this something that is just harder for the sake of feeling and being harder? That is the question. And not to mention, saunas and heat therapy are becoming a lot more popular. I think they've grown the inquiries about saunas are up 40% this year, which is crazy. That's thanks to a lot of podcasts that have kind of been talking about this. So, I mean, the question we're grappling with here is heat exposure and heat therapy legit? Or is it just like another one of those things that's severely overhyped? So to find out, what I did is I called one of the world's foremost physiologists. This guy's name is Chris Minson. So Minson is a professor at the University of Oregon, and he studies how our bodies change and adapt to environmental extremes. Minson began his work during the Gulf War. This is a quote from him. He said, "To be honest, the US was not really prepared to fight in the heat. And so I was literally the guy who was brought in as a grad student to assist with what were called heat stream countermeasures." So he was kind of on the leading edge of this research, and he has continued the work. He's now probably the top mind on the topic of whether the heat can improve human health and performance. So let's get into it. First, let's cover the health benefits of heat. So Minson told me this. In most of the studies, we generally see that most people's biomarkers of cardiovascular and metabolic health get better after heat exposure. We see reductions in blood pressure and arterial stiffness. We'll see their metabolic health improve. End quote. So for example, I have a link to a study in the piece at twopct.com. That study took a group of young, sedentary people. The experimental group, they sat in a 105-degree bath for 60 minutes. And this happened 4 to 5 times a week for 8 weeks straight. Minson wrote about this, and I'm quoting again, "Heat therapy increased flow-mediated dilation, reduced arterial stiffness, reduced mean arterial and diastolic blood pressure, and reduced carotid intima media thickness, with changes all on par, and reduce carotid intima media thickness with changes all on par or greater than what is typically observed in sedentary subjects with exercise training." End quote. Another of Minson's studies took obese women and exposed them to the heat. He told me, quoting again, "We saw their glucose levels drop, their A1C, which if you don't know is a marker for diabetes, drop, their insulin sensitivity increase. It's very similar," he said, "to what you might expect with some of the benefits of exercise. But we've separated it so there are people who aren't exercising and are only doing the heat stress." And by the way, saunas are very popular in Finland. So a lot of work on the long-term effects of using sauna gets conducted on people who live in Finland. There's another famous study from Finland, and it found that men who used the sauna 4 to 7 times a week were less likely to have heart disease or die over the 20-year study period. And when I say that, I don't mean like they were kind of less likely to die. I mean they were really, really less likely to die. The group who used the sauna at least 4 times a week saw a 40% reduced risk of death compared to those who used it once. 40% is pretty strong. And it was a big group of people. There was another group in that study who used it 2 to 3 times a week, and they saw a 24% drop in their risk. So more than 4 times a week seems to be better, but 2 to 3 times a week did seem to have some benefits. Now note that these saunas were usually about 176 to 212 degrees. Now, of course, people who can sauna for at least 4 times a week, they're probably more health conscious in a lot of other ways. So there is some noise. You know, these people probably eat more vegetables. They're probably more likely to exercise. They're probably less likely to smoke. So again, there's a lot of, you know, questions we need to ask, but 40% is 40%. Like that's pretty strong. Now, sauna seems to work for a variety of reasons, and most of them go back to the fact that it seems to potentially mimic light cardiovascular exercise, which raises a question. Next topic, can heat therapy replace exercise? That's a great question. So Minson told me, the question I get the most is, this heat therapy sounds so healthy. Does this mean I don't have to exercise? And my answer is, oh God, no. If you do just one healthy thing, make it exercise. So TLDR, if you feel like you don't exercise enough already, you should fix that issue before you devote time to heat therapy. There are 3 types of exercisers for who the sauna could be particularly good though. So the first group is people who will never exercise. So heat therapy is not a replacement for exercise, but it might be something that exercise-averse people will actually do that would give them some health benefits. So we're talking about people who are like, I am never going to go for a jog or a long walk. I am never going to lift a weight. I am never going to a yoga class. I am never exercising. But maybe these people would sit in a really hot room for half an hour, and that feels like a win. Next group is people who want to get more out of their exercise. So heat therapy, it may extend some of the benefits of exercise. I'm going to talk more on that in a second. Third group is people who have exercise limitations. So for example, injury patients. Heat therapy could help these people if they can't get the full benefits of exercise. Next topic, the fitness benefits of heat. Okay, in one study, and this was an interesting one, Minson got two groups of trained cyclists and he measured their race performance. Then each group did 10 90-minute training sessions. The first group did their training sessions in a room that was 55 degrees. The second group did their training sessions in a room that was 104 degrees. So it was kind of similar to my garage there in June. By the time we get into July, we're well above 104, but June is a nice, like late June, that's 104 zone. Okay, so these cyclists, again, they do 10 90-minute training sessions in these different temperature rooms, right? One group is in the 55 degree room, another group is in the 104 degree room. He then re-measured their race performance in a hot environment and a cool environment. The results: heat exposure improved the heat group's race performance by 5% when they raced in cool conditions and 8% when they raced in the heat. So 8% is pretty significant. That is a significant bump for performance. And it also boosted a few other performance markers. I have a really interesting graph from that study. Just go to the website, twopct.com, and you will see it. Worth taking a look. Okay, now with this topic on fitness and heat, other studies have found that using the sauna after a workout could be beneficial. So one study found that spending about 30 minutes in the sauna after a 15-minute all-out running workout, so these people got put on a treadmill, 15 minutes, let's see how far you can go in 15 minutes. They are hauling on this thing, so they are gassed afterwards. Then they get in this sauna for 30 minutes. What it found was it produced a worthwhile enhancement of endurance running performance, probably by increasing blood volume. That is a quote from the study. But here's the thing. So you're probably thinking, all right, it seems like there's some great benefits to exercising in the heat, spending more time in the sauna, that sort of thing. But there's a but. Minson does not give his athletes free rein to train in the heat. It's not just like a more is better thing or anything like that. He is very careful with elite athletes, he said, and I'm going to quote him. We're trying to balance all their training. If an athlete uses heat haphazardly, it can destroy all the training they've done the few years leading up to the competition. Just wipe it out, end quote. So he's really careful and tactical with this kind of stuff. For example, one of the things he uses that he told me about, picture this scenario. Let's say the Oregon track team has a meet in Texas. And in Texas, it might be 100 degrees. So what he'll do is he will have the team use his heating chambers in the weeks leading up to the meet. Their bodies will adapt to the heat, and that'll leave them better off when they go from the nice, mild, cool temperatures of Oregon into the furnace of Texas. So Minson told me, then the athletes can run at a given pace and not have their core temperature go up as high. Their blood flow and sweating won't have to go as high because they'll be able to keep their body temperature lower. All of that has performance benefits, end quote. Minson also mentioned a new study. It found that training in the heat for 5 weeks led to increases in red blood cell mass. Quote, if you can increase red blood cell mass, then most endurance athletes will be able to run, bike, etc. faster, he said, end quote. And you can do the same. So here's how you might use this. If you had a marathon or a triathlon in a place that was hotter than your hometown, the area you were training in, you may want to spend time in the sauna to prepare for that. Let's say you're not even an athlete. You just happen to be traveling somewhere way hotter this summer. Like you live in, I don't know, Quebec, and you decide I'm going down to the equator and it's going to be super, super hot. What you could do is you could spend some time in the sauna beforehand. So then once you arrived at your destination for your vacation, you wouldn't sweat as much and you wouldn't feel so just deathly hot during your trip. And I will tell you, I have experienced this adaptation period myself. A funny thing always happens to me in the springtime when I train in my garage. The very first days over 80 degrees, we're talking about the time period right now, it's usually in like late April, early May. Those first training sessions over 80 degrees, they suck. They feel like death. But then after a few weeks, I start to adapt and the heat starts to become a lot more manageable. And soon enough, the temperatures are into 110. And yes, of course it feels hot. Of course 110 is very hot, but it also feels doable, doesn't feel as miserable. Okay, so those are all the possible benefits, how we should weigh them. So how do you even start doing this? I'm going to give you a 5-step guide to leverage the power of the heat. On Wednesday, in our episode Wednesday, I want to give you kind of a bigger picture overview of how I think about heat and heat exposure and how I actually use it in my life. So let's dive into how to start. Number one, decide if you even want to start. So there are 100 different things that you could do daily to improve your health. And living well requires introspecting to figure out what practices will give you the most benefits for the time and personality that you have. As I said before, if you barely find time to exercise, you should probably get that in order before you worry about heat exposure. The heat exposure research is really compelling, but remember, there are people all over the world who meet their health goals, who turn 90 years of age every single day, and these people have never stepped foot in a sauna. So it's not like this thing is a miracle. Number two, ease in. Okay, so let's say you do decide you want to start using a sauna. Or maybe your gym has one and it's an easy way to end a workout. Great, I love it. You might even want to install one at home. Great, I love it. During your first sessions, bring yourself to a point where you feel fairly warm, but not super hot. Then you want to sit for about 15 minutes and then get out. So Minson said you want to just kind of ease in because it'll help your body adapt and it'll avoid any possible downsides. Number three, bake, don't burn. Once you have a few rounds in of that easing in, bring the temperature up to a point where you feel hot. Most of the studies use temperatures between 180 and 210 degrees. Minson told me this. He said, quote, "I want you to feel hot, but not miserably hot. Then stay in there for around 15 to 20 minutes. Number four, drink as you bake. Minson told me this, quote, "I want people hydrating while they're in there. There's some debate in the literature about whether your response is different if you're hydrating, but I don't think much about that," end quote. The reason for that is the consequence of dehydrating, he told me, and then not recovering from that dehydration, it just totally isn't worth any of these maybe benefits you would get by getting dehydrated in the sauna and not drinking. So bring water, drink it normally. To ensure that you replace the water you sweat, you can weigh yourself before and after going in the sauna. So if you're a pound lighter after you exit, then drink 16 ounces of water. You've replaced your water, good. Number five, use the time well. So we are all time crunched. So you wanna use your sauna time to do other things. That's one of the nice things about this. It's like, you're just sitting there. You're not having to hold weights. You're not having to run super fast. So you can accomplish other things. For example, you could read, you could meditate. One of my friends, my good friend, Rob McDonald, he has a sauna in his house, super convenient. He brings a cold pack like you would keep in the freezer, like you would use for, you know, if, I don't know, you get hit in the head or something. He brings that into the sauna. It's frozen. And he sets his phone on the cold pack so his phone doesn't overheat, because your phone will overheat if you bring it into a sauna. And then he catches up on emails. He does all this other stuff so he can get the benefits of the sauna, but also not have it cut too far into his day. So have fun, don't die, and bake. Michael, as a reminder, we are brought to you by Momentous Nutrition, the company that made me feel good about supplements again. I actually just had a lovely, lovely smoothie with their essential plant protein. It is my favorite. It is the cleanest you can buy on the market. Turns out plant proteins actually have a lot of crap in them. I've talked about that in the past. Easter gets you 15% off with them. Next, we are brought to you by GoRuck, maker of the world's finest, best rucksacks. I'm kind of debating what I'm going to use for this 50-mile ruck that I have coming up, but I think my answer is going to be a Rucker 4.0, probably the smaller one, and then a 20-pound plate, because all we got to bring on that is 20 pounds, but it'll be, I think, a good setup. I think a Rucker 4.0 is what people's sort of go-to bag should be if they're using it primarily for rucking. Easter gets you 10% off. Last but not least, Maui Nui Venison, harvester of the world's healthiest meat. But please do not take my word for it. I have a link to some really fascinating research around axis deer, which is what their meat is. And the numbers on it are just mind-blowing. It is unbelievable. I eat it a few times a week. It's great. Easter gets you 20% off. Thanks as always for listening.